for people to be able to allow this time to crack them open to a new layer inside of themselves, and for men to really, really learn what it means to be a masculine man from other men, and to women who actually love men, to women who actually love the masculine. Because if we look at like extreme feminism, that's just like unhealthy feminine anger. And it's actually women who don't like men. And that's really not going to be the answer in terms of how we're going to learn to coexist and to move together.
Hello, beautiful women, and welcome to the Claimed Podcast. I'm Anna Rova, your host. And let me tell you a little bit about myself if you're new to the podcast. I'm a femininity and feminine embodiment coach, and I run a very powerful program for single successful women who want to attract and keep committed masculine men, or women who are already in relationships but want to change that feminine masculine polarity in their relationship. All right, ladies, you better get ready for this interview because this is going to blow your mind and have you laughing like crazy. Because today I talked to Jamie Ray, who is an amazing guy. I'm just going to read his Instagram bio and you'll get what I mean. So he's a life and relationship coach, but not a regular one. He's an energy worker, and here's what he says. I'm what you get if a comedian fucked a light worker. Humor plus healing. He's a screenwriter, filmmaker, and storyteller. His Instagram is amazing, and we just had such a hilarious conversation. It was, oh my God, it was just insane. So where do we start? We start with like some random stuff. I asked him about this biography, and then he tells us the whole story of how, you know, if like fictional parents and where did he come from and all that stuff. So we laugh about it a lot. And then we talk about humor, and humor being why it's so important for a man, for a masculine man, to embody humor, and why humor is such a great masculine quality. Like on his Instagram, he said he has a post, there's nothing more masculine than a killer fucking sense of humor, which is so true. And then we talk about why is that and why women are attracted to men who have a great sense of humor. So definitely tune into that. Then we talk about, you know, we touch upon, I asked him like, what is this energy worker stuff and light worker? Because a lot of the times when I hear that or read that, I'm like, all right, this guy's too much in his feminine. So we talk a little bit about that and how it presents itself in many men, and how men who are relationship coaches and energy workers and all that can still hold their masculine energy very strongly, and how does it look like. And here is where, ladies, we get to the analogy of a dildicorn. If you don't know what's a dildicorn, you definitely got to stay until the end and listen to that, because that was freaking hilarious. And then that's why this episode has dildicorn. And now you know, basically, a great masculine man who is connected to his purpose and his soul and to his feminine in a way, right, to that capacity to feel and be present, is a dildicorn. And so then we talk about, you know, what is the difference between the integrated healthy masculine and the integrated healthy feminine, and what does it look like, and what does it mean when a man is connected to his feelings and his feminine? And then we just talk about, you know, the current, I guess, gender climate, dating and relationships climate. What is the solution to all of this mess that we find ourselves in? And we get into Jamie's. I was very curious about Jamie's routines in terms of writing. He's an amazing, you know, he was a professional writer and a relationship blogger and writer for many, many years. So we talk a little bit about that and what is his process there. So stay until the end to discover and explore all of that. And Jamie will also mention how you can get in touch with him. But I had a lot of fun. I laughed a lot. So I think you're going to enjoy it as well. All right. I'll talk to you at the end of the episode. Enjoy. Okay, ladies. Today I have a really special guest all the way from Canada, Vancouver. His name is Jamie Ray. I'll read your bio on Instagram because I think it's pretty awesome and hilarious. He's a life and relationship coach and energy worker. And then he says, I'm what you get if a comedian fucked a light worker. He humor plus healing, screenwriter, filmmaker, storyteller. I'm like, dream man. Like, who is this dream man? An energy worker and a comedian. Like, who are you, Jamie Ray? Like, where did you come from? Welcome to Claim Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me here, Anna. And basically, I'm just a plethora of different shit. I'm basically just like a million different fucking butterflies, like all wrapped up into one. And like, it's funny because people always ask me, they're like, oh, I saw on your Instagram, it said you're like a comedian. What, like what? If a comedian fucked a light worker? And how I always explain it to people, I try to describe kind of what my tone is and kind of a little bit of, you know, who I think I am. And it's as if like a really witchy chick went to watch a stand-up show. Say it's like a really witchy girl. Maybe she's a healer or a fucking crystal something. And she goes to watch a stand-up show with a bunch of her, like a bunch of other witches. They all got their broomsticks, their fucking martinis. They're there watching this comedian. And this chick, she's got a really dirty sense of humor. She's got a really dirty sense of humor where friends are like, oh my God, Margaret, I can't believe you fucking said that. But she's also really gifted as a healer. And then there's this really filthy comedian on stage with a beer. And he kind of maybe has a curiosity about spirituality, maybe has an interest about growth, but like comedy kind of revels in this space of like dysfunction of I'm kind of, you know, crazy, dysfunctional, and that's kind of the only way that I can be funny. And basically that night, that comedian ends up railing that light worker in the lane behind the comedy club or whatever without a condom. And then 9 months later, a baby is born, and that baby is me. That's how I explain it.
Now, tell me the real story of how your parents met. And then I imagine that you did not get conceived in a parking lot behind a bar. They're probably like some sort of like, I don't know, one is a professor at the university and the other one is like, I don't know, some creative pursuit or something. Am I close?
That's not that crazy far off. So my dad's a dentist and my mom's a wild child. I always remember my mom telling me like how much she used to like love doing cocaine, like, you know, just kind of this wild child. But she like worked in marketing advertising, but they actually met in the dental chair. My mom was a fucking broke student in university and my dad was going through dental school. My mom had so many fucking cavities because of all the sugar, you know what I mean, that she was eating. And they met in the dental chair. My mom was this like fucking tornado coming in. Her car didn't have a passenger side seat. And my dad was kind of this straight edge scientific dentist who is fucking so smart. And he's like, oh man, like that woman's hot, but she's kind of a train wreck. And so in not as cool of a sense as a lightworker comedian, it is kind of that very opposite sides of the spectrum coming together with my parents.
Yeah, wow, really interesting. Well, I was going to say, like, give me some dirty sense of humor because I love it. Like, me and my husband, Jamie, we've watched, I mean, okay, it's mostly him because he, yeah, like, comes home from work. My CMM, that is code for committed masculine man that we use with the women that I work with. He comes home and he just doesn't want to give a shit about anything. He just wants to watch comedy. And we're like obsessed with the dirtiest comedians out there on Netflix or whatever.
Yeah.
What are their names? I can't even remember, but it's like, just give me black and dirty and like, this is the best. And then we just laugh and then it's like, awesome. Who's your favorite comedian on Netflix?
Honestly, like my favorite comedian, and it feels kind of bad saying that because he had a lot of controversy surrounding him, but like Louis C.K. has always been my favorite comedian. Like I've driven, you know, across country to see him and I really love him. Bill Burr.
Oh, yeah.
My all-time favorite comedy series was Californication. I don't know if you've ever watched that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. David Duchovny plays Hank Moody and he's in L.A.
Right.
And it's kind of this great romantic love story, but he's got this like dirty mouth. And I just love dirty humor because it's the ultimate icebreaker. And then I love it when it's mixed in a healing because it's like, let's fucking raise our vibration and all give each other rim jobs. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you actually posted on your Instagram, what was a couple of days ago, 3 days ago, there's nothing more masculine than a killer fucking sense of humor. I love it because you have no idea, Jamie, how many women I talked to and they're like, men are just so fucking boring. I'm like, excuse me. Like, you're not looking where you're supposed to be looking because, like, there's a lot of men who are really funny, but humor, I found, like, my husband's hilarious and I still laugh. And he's like, he says the best thing about me is that I still laugh at his jokes.
Yeah.
He kind of walks around like it's a badge of honor. And so, we love a man who can make us laugh. So I love it.
Totally. And it's like when you come into a relationship, it's like, are you a contributor of humor or are you more of a receiver? And like some people are both, but I find I'm very much a contributor. I'm not so much a receiver. Like it's, for example, it's really, really hard to make me laugh. You know, there's a lot of people who laugh all the time. It's really hard for me to laugh. But like when I'm in a relationship, I love to contribute humor. And if you look at that almost in like a polarity standpoint, like she's receiving your mm-hmm. humor. She's being filled up by your humor that's bringing the woman to a state of like play and pleasure. And there's nothing, just humor is fucking bold. Like to make a really good dirty joke, that dude, if it's a guy making the joke, has to ride the line of going too far and being inappropriate or being just the right amount of dirty. And riding that line is really dangerous in a way that's kind of fun, because if you make a dirty joke and you're at a dinner party, guess what? That whole entire room can just fucking, you know, metaphorically fart.
Yeah.
Everyone can fart because everyone's just like, oh my gosh, all the tension is taken out. I can finally say the shit that I'm really feeling. I don't have to censor myself. And it just, it allows a freedom and like, oh my gosh, like we can actually just like let our shit hang out here and kind of go buck wild.
Yeah. So first of all, I want to comment on the polarity thing. And I think you're right. You know, if we talk about in couples, why it's so sexy when a man can make you laugh and not the other way around. I mean, I'm sure men appreciate a woman who can crack a joke, but this tends to be a very masculine kind of trait that's really attractive. And following, I mean, obviously like all of my work, well, a lot of my work is based on David Deida, which I know, you know, you've been studying that as well.
Yeah.
You know, because like, because the masculine is so much in the moment, and I'm totally. So much in my fucking head thinking about, oh my God, you know, I feel this, I feel the world is crazy, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And then when he just cracks that joke, it just snaps me out of my drama and out of my story. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, so everything has just become so light. And also what happens is that for me, I just realize how, it's not that it's unimportant, but how much of a drama and the story is in my head instead of just like, with your joke, you can bring me back here now and we can laugh and then I can move forward. So yeah, that's why women love it. That's at least my theory of it. But what you say with play and pleasure, I think, yeah, it's just like what the masculine brings out in us when he does that is amazing. And that's why we love it.
Completely. And then all of a sudden she's like playing with her hair. She feels her tits. She's just in the moment. You know, she's in her body. She's like, oh my God, I was a floating head. Guess what? I have tits again. I have a vagina again. Like I can feel my body. Like, thank you. So like in that moment, your joke, your well-timed joke, because, you know, there's one thing we use humor to deflect and because we have a fear of intimacy, but we use it to bring presence in the moment. Then all of a sudden she's like, thank God you brought me home. Like you brought me back home to my body in that moment. And I feel like a woman again. And, you know, and also just because like life gets heavy. Like if you look at everything that's like happening in the world right now, Like humor for me anyway has been like a fucking salvation to be able to come back to humor, because it allows me to come back to like an experience of being in my body. And it's, as you say, it's the ultimate thing. If a woman's, you know, in her emotional storms or whatever she's kind of going through, it's like, thank God you reminded me that I have a body and I am this woman and I can feel you and I know that you're present in the moment. And it becomes like a grounding rock as well, that she knows that he can bring her back, that when she kind of gets cast out to sea a little bit, you know, when she gets cast out to sea, that she can come back to his really dirty humor raft. It's like, I come back to the dirty humor raft and be taken care of by your jokes. And she's just like fondled by these dick jokes and she's just loving it.
Yeah, I just want to give an example to everyone listening, and I think you're going to love it, Jamie. So my man, I mean, obviously I get into the states where I'm like annoyed, angry, whatever. And I remember one day, like I get into this, I don't want anything, like whatever, I don't care. Mm-hmm. And he feels it. He not only feels it in my tone of voice, he feels it as soon as he enters the apartment and I'm like in the kitchen, like he knows, like something's up, you know, or the way I write messages, like he knows me so well.
Yeah.
And then I remember I was just like sending him some like really kind of, you know, snappy comments on whatever. And then
right.
It's very short. But then he says, I love an angry woman so hot. That's it, you know.
That's what he
and
said.
I was just laughing about it. That's it. That's all he said. And then I was just laughing about it. It brought me into this whole freaking drama. Mm. And the other thing he told me, so we're trying now for a second baby.
Mm. Congratulations.
Thank you. And, you know, obviously, like, we had sex the night before. It was great. We're like, okay, there may be happening. And then next morning, I was again in my little angry bubble or whatever. And then I was snapping at him again. He's like, are you angry because you're pregnant? Question mark. And I just, you know, so like these little things just, it's just so good. I love it. Well, I want to ask you a question about humor and men and what you said. So I know my husband, so I'm curious because obviously all of my listeners are women.
Yeah.
Is this something that you find men? Because I know my husband, he has a book on his shelf, something like how to be funny or comic, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Men, like, how do men learn this? And how do you know the difference between what you said? When is it appropriate? When is it inappropriate? When is it dirty? Like, how do you walk that line with, specifically, I guess, with a woman? Like, how do you know that?
Yeah. So there's a bunch of things to this. First off, I don't really think you can learn to be funny. Mm-hmm. I think you can become funnier. I think if you're going to comedy school to learn how to be funny, you're not funny. That if you need to learn how to be funny, I think it's like a raw thing that we kind of have, but you can definitely develop it more to be funnier. But the biggest thing, you know, and this speaks to my story with humor, was when you get more comfortable with yourself. I think a dude who's in his humor is a dude who's like, this is fucking me, fucking deal with it. You know what I mean? There's something that's inherently attractive about a dude who's, as a dude who's able to make jokes, as a dude who, like, this is who I am, kind of take it or leave it. And particularly if it comes to that more embodied humor, where that well-timed humor, where we kind of got to stop giving a fuck about a lot of things. We have to be comfortable in our skin. And for me, it was when I started to write, I started to find that I had this really comedic voice, because I wasn't like the class clown in high school. I was kind of more on the shy side. I definitely was not the class clown. And then when I started to write, all my writing was about blowjobs and buttholes. And I'm like, what is happening to me? I was like finding this like really inner, this dirty inner pervert in like the best way possible. I was like, whoa, I am funny and I'm really perverted and I fucking love it. And it was really when I kind of got comfortable in myself. And I was always a kid who had this sensitivity, who had this emotional intelligence. And I think, you know, humor becomes unattractive when it's a way of deflecting. And like, there's a lot of stand-up comedians who have to be the funniest person in the room. They have to be funny. And that's very much from an ego place, is that humor is all I fucking have. That's not very attractive, because it's like this person live and dies by being funny because they don't think they have any value otherwise. So it's actually like a real embodiment of low self-worth. But if we can be funny at the right time and then, but not have to be funny, able to be serious, it's very masculine energy, because you're having to read the room. You're having to read the energy of the room. You're having to like have literally like a broad stroke view of the environment. Be like, is it appropriate for a joke here? So it's like, if a dude's got a knack for making that, like, you know, it's like that example of at a dinner party. If the dude's got a knack for making that well-timed joke, he's able to be dialed into what the emotional environment is. He's able to be attuned and aware to the other people enough to be like, is this potentially going to offend them? Or is this a tasteful moment to kind of ride this line? Are these people that I'm in the presence of people who might be able to handle this humor? So it's really much being able to survey the energy of a room, being able to tune into everyone else, being able to feel it and know when it's appropriate to kind of, you could say like, making that joke's kind of putting your dick on the table. You know, when you make that joke, when you make that well-timed humor, like that dude just put some skin on the table. He put his foreskin on the table and he made that joke. And if it works, that shows that that dude had a very perceptive and aware kind of analysis of the situation to know that was the right time. I don't know if that makes any sense.
That makes perfect sense. And I'm so happy we're talking about this, because I've never discussed humor, as you know, in terms of polarity, relationships, masculinity. But you're right. It's like I'm thinking about all these comedians that I've looked at, I've seen, even the ones who, like, you know, what comes to mind, there is this Asian dude who cracks a lot of jokes. And normally we think of Asian men as a lot less masculine. But at the same time, you're right. And it's a man. What's attractive and when a joke is good, it's when a man really knows himself. And I love what you said, you know, he's comfortable with himself and he stops giving a fuck. about what others think, but he's also tuned into emotionally into what's happening right now. And is this appropriate or not?
Totally.
And can I be on the edge here? So it's all about that masculine edge, you know, risk. It's about going there, going into the discomfort, knowing that it might cause some tension, but I'm okay with that. Like, just deal with it. I know who I am, you know?
Completely. That is completely the thing, is that a guy who makes dirty humor and makes it work is a guy who lives on the edge. We don't see it like that a lot of the time. We're like, oh, it's just a funny dude. But it takes a lot of courage. And mm-hmm. that dude is a fucking risk taker. And guess mm-hmm. what? There's automatically going to be a magnetism to that dude. There's going to be a sexual energy to that dude. Like, who's the woman going to, you know, a woman who's in her body, she's probably going to want to bang the funniest dude in the room. The guy who makes her feel the most amount of pleasure, that makes her feel really, really good in her body, because that dude is riding the line. He's towing the line. And like, if you're going to talk even from an end of seduction, because I used to write about seduction early in my writing career, and I always talked about this thing called dangerous conversation, which is like being able to be tasteful in how you speak, meaning you're not, you know, inappropriate, you're not disrespectful, you can read when it's appropriate, but you can create this conversation that has a level of tension to it, that has a level of, there's some sexual innuendo, that it's kind of like, ooh, she feels something in her body all of a sudden through that kind of conversation. And so when you can do that in a really tasteful, appropriate way, it really elicits a kind of a magnetism and an energy. And like, in terms of creating sexual tension early on in the union, as well as with your current partner, it's like you with your husband, it's like when he makes a comment that's kind of like tastefully dirty, you're probably like, whoa, like I'm all of a sudden back in my body. And like, you know, automatically you're like, the desire probably went up a few notches and you're like, my God, let's just kind of cancel the calendar for the afternoon here and have a little afternoon talk. You know what I mean? Just the idea is that that dude's a fucking risk taker, and, you know, maybe he'll want to do kinky shit in the bedroom. Maybe he's going to want to do some butt stuff. Maybe he's down to explore and can take me on a wild adventure. And it's like, it opens up all these worlds of possibilities. And if you get that paired with a dude who's also emotionally intelligent, is has a relationship to spirit, then all of a sudden you have this guy who's going to be able to attune to you, be able to attune to your needs, be able to read when it's appropriate to be genuine, I'm just going to hold you. And when it's appropriate to drop this kind of out of left field joke that all of a sudden brings you back into unison with your vagina.
Beautiful. I love it.
I love that this is the direction the conversation went.
We should just like stop there and not discuss anything else. Well, a few questions, because Jamie, you and I mean, I was reading your stuff and I'm like, oh my God, this is my twin brother. Like the way you think about things. And I mean, obviously there are some, how do you call them, differences between, but I love the way you're taking this, the way you're working. So a few questions that I want to discuss. First of all, and I'll give you my gist on it. Like when I see a man like writing energy worker on his Instagram story, it's kind of, or a light worker, it's kind of like, you know, or even I'll tell you, a relationship coach, right? I'm like, you know, because technically that is the domain of the feminine in a way, right? Like spirit, energy work. And I talk a lot to women who come to me, like, I see all these things. I've been that woman myself. I want a man who's in his masculine and present, and he like, is into yoga and meditation, and he's like in touch with his feelings and shit like that. And then I realized, well, I don't want a man like that. Because when a man is into all of that, like a little bit too, well, I guess we'll talk about the balance here, but I'm like, oh my God, no, I don't want to date a yogi. Because a yogi, most of the time, not everyone, but a lot of men go like overboard, and like, he can't take charge, he can't take me by the hand, and can't hold space. And so my husband, I always give all of my women that I work with this example, who tell me, oh, I want this like energy light worker or energy worker guy who's so connected to himself. I'm like, my husband cracks jokes about chakras. Like, he comes home and he's like, oh, you know, my butt chakra has just opened. Do you want to like massage it or a little bit, you know? So he's, and I'm not saying that's the right way. There is a man for every woman, but it's like, I'm not sure. Like, how do you think about that? Because I know it's very attractive. So, you know, I know that men, that's what I tell women, and I'd love to hear your thoughts. man does not have to be explicitly connected to his, you know, to his spirit, spirituality, to his chakras or whatever, to be emotionally in tune with himself, you know? But then there are men like you who do this kind of work, call themselves energy workers, and also hold that space. So where do these two intersect?
So it's funny because I'm teaching a workshop in the middle of December on wild alchemy. And I'm teaching with my buddy who's also an energy worker, like a dude who's an energy worker. And we have this image that we're using. It's a unicorn with a dildo for the horn.
You mean on the forehead?
Yeah. So there's a raging dildo coming out of the unicorn. And so if you want to know a dude who's alchemized, what's a dude who's alchemized? He's a unicorn with a raging dildo coming out of his horn. And I call it a dildicorn. And that is the perfect intersection where it's like, oh, this dude's like in tune, but he also, you can feel his cock. And like, not like in the sense you can, you know, literally feel his cock, but like with his presence, you can feel his cock. Means, you know, he's got boundaries, he's got backbone. He knows who he is in the world. He's able to lead. He's able to have government and agency over his domain. But there is also a certain, like if you're going to look at like the healthy integrated masculine, there has to be a certain level of feminine connection. Because if we don't have a certain level of feminine connection, guess what? We're going to use women. We're going to use women to get our own feminine or our own soul. So if we don't have a connection to our own feminine, our soul is going to be manifested in the feminine of a woman three-dimensionally. And we might use and abuse that woman because ultimately we're disconnected from our own. So I think it's really, really important for men to be able to have a connection to their own soul, their own unconscious, their own feminine in a very internal sense, because coming home to the body is very much going to be coming home to like a lot of our grief from when we were young. And this idea of embodiment, you know, I think it's really important for men to meet that emotional edge on the inside. Mm-hmm. So I really see kind of the gateway for a man to have a relationship with his feminine is actually through his grief, is actually through his sadness, and very much on a somatic embodied deep level. Like, because the face of male stoicism is, I don't even know if I pronounced that right, is basically all the unexpressed and unprocessed grief from his childhood that he's holding all this deep emotion back. But when a guy is able to build that level of relationship to his internal emotional world, now he's completely free. He's completely untouchable. He's freed of deep entrenchment in codependency. He doesn't use the woman for safety, security, or comfort. He doesn't use and abuse the feminine as a way to, you know, manifest his own soul. That he ultimately doesn't need the feminine, but of course he wants the feminine, but he's able to self-generate and self-create that own energy inside of himself through his own relationship to his body, through his own relationship to his spirit. And so I really see this alchemy dance where it's very much a unicorn with a raging dildo. And it's very much like, you know, it's almost like dropping into the feminine, scraping the barrel of the feminine and executing through the masculine. Because if you look at like a dude who's got all this forward movement, who's like creating so much shit in the world, but maybe it's slightly misaligned from his soul. What he's doing is creating from masculine energy with his rejection of his own feminine. So now that becomes the unhealthy masculine. But if you can drop into the feminine, figure out that soul connection, that feminine embodiment to self, you execute through the masculine. Now you have this alchemized whole body creation where you're able to drive and generate from masculine, but also on purpose through your own feminine. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. And I know exactly what you're talking about. So I want to get clear on a few things, then we'll talk about women and men. So I'm assuming, Jamie, you are on the same page as me in terms of men identify predominantly with their masculine essence and women predominantly identify with their feminine essence. And that is the leading essence, the leading energy in most men and then most women. And so we're happiest when we are externally manifesting and behaving and following that energy. So for men is the masculine, the edge and everything. And for women, it is the feminine. I'm assuming we're in agreement there. because that's what...
Yes, definitely.
Let's now discuss this idea of... So obviously, like, all of us are feminine, masculine. But what you're talking about right now, help me understand. And then I'll also kind of mirror that in women. So when we have a man who is so in touch with his masculinity, but when he only acts from that place, that is the unhealthy masculine, where it's just masculine and you go, 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 push, push, push. You're not in touch with your emotions, the depths of it, like what you said, the awareness, the presence, the spirit. You know, you're not a dildicorn. You're just, I don't, like an S-corn, S-hole corn.
You're just a dildo. Or you're a unicorn with no horn. You're a unicorn that's fucking going, Commando, where's my fucking horn? I want to go ram some shit, but I can't fuck the world because I don't have this goddamn fucking horn.
You're just a dildo. Oh my God. Are you? Yeah. Oh, this is so good. Yeah. So.
Are you a dildo or a unicorn?
That's right. So for men, I love the word that you used, in integrated. The healthy integrated masculine is a man who is still predominantly, obviously, in his masculine essence. He knows, like, this is me and I'm much more fulfilled and I'm acting on the edge and I take risks and my role is the protector, provider, the hero, right, to build and go forward. But he's also connected to his feminine side, which is the internal emotional capacity that he has. In many different ways.
You could basically just see it as like a guy. It's a guy who's in his masculine energy, but it's not in his body. So he lives neck up, which is like a lot of men, where it's like he doesn't have a very harmonious relationship to his body.
Or he lives in his dick, in his dildo.
Yeah, exactly. Like his dick is just this like point where he just spews. It's just this like one little region where he just spews nonsense.
Yeah, right. But that feminine... Right? That feminine part of him is almost like it's hidden. It's inside. And but being in touch with that is paramount. So a question to you, and well, let me talk about the mirror image of women now, women who are predominantly in their feminine essence. It's kind of, you know, obviously it's polarity, but it's also mirroring. On the other hand, women are obviously, most of them are feminine essence. And so when women live in their feminine essence fully, and that's what's portrayed, and that's predominantly the energy that they live in, that's, well, if she's just that, then she's just, I don't even know what the analogy we can, if the guy is just the dildo, then she can just be, I don't know what. But then internally, she needs to be connected to her inner masculine, because if you're just in your feminine, then you're in your toxic femininity, just like, or just like, I guess, in your, I don't even know who I am, let's just go dance around and do flower crowns and I want everybody to provide for me and I'm just this damsel in distress. So that's toxic femininity, we can call it. But when she's connected to her inner masculine, where she knows who she is, she sets up boundaries, you know, like her inner kind of like, I just need to get up and do shit if I need to. Yeah. I don't want to, but if I need to, she can activate that in the right moment, in the right time. But that's not the main place that she acts from. But that's extremely important. But that's also hidden. Does that make sense how I'm explaining, like mirroring the two?
Completely. So, you know, exactly. It's like a woman who's very, you know, if she's underdeveloped on the masculine side, it's going to be like, I just want to go to school and then I want to get a husband. You know, I just want to kind of, I'm just kind of in the waiting wings to, you know, this is maybe a plausible option, but like, I'm just waiting to kind of get married and have a man who's going to step in and kind of create things for me and kind of get shit done. And then when it comes to her own execution in her life, she's very much, you know, I want a man to kind of come in and fill that role for me.
Mm-hmm. Right. So in that, so I have a question actually about back to your energy worker, light worker stuff, you know, that unicorn with a dildo instead of the cord, instead of the cord. So Jamie, I mean, obviously you're the guy and I've interviewed many guys who do men's work or who do this kind of work. But for regular guys, you know, like my husband or most of men, you know, they're not going to be light workers, energy workers or whatever workers, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking about my man, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, so what have you seen in men who are just regular dudes? They don't meditate for 3 hours a day. They don't do like somatic stuff and whatever. Like, how have you seen, or maybe how are you seeing them being in touch with that part of them? Because I, like my husband, I mean, he started meditating now and doing a little bit of yoga, but he was never into that stuff. But He's very in touch with my emotions. I wouldn't say he's in touch with, like, he never talks about feelings. Like, he comes home and he makes jokes. He's like, do you want to talk about feelings today?
Right.
But obviously, like, that's not. So I'm just thinking, like, what does he do? I don't think he does anything. It's just, I mean, obviously he's done Tony Robbins events in the past. So I think he's cultivated that. But now it's just like, he just is who he is without extra kind of, you know, practices or whatever.
Totally. And, you know, well, like, the biggest thing across the board, I think, is that most people are disconnected from their masculine and their feminine.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the world in general, connecting to masculine and feminine energies is actually like a luxury. Because if you think about it from like a survival standpoint, when we're like living in survival, you know, we're not really going to be connected to anything. We're kind of just existing. We're very low on the Maslow hierarchy of needs. We're just like, I'm fucking just putting fucking food in my mouth, shitting, farting. I'm just like trying to make money to survive. So very much like masculine, feminine energies to me feels kind of like this new paradigm we're stepping into, where it's almost like this luxury that we're being afforded to actually thrive and connect to ourselves that deeply. And I think it's just really important to understand like where these different energies grow. And like for a man who's connecting to his masculine energy, it's all around challenge. Like, how do you meet challenges in your life? You know, creating very regular rites of passage for yourself. You know, looking at who you surround yourself. Like, do you have men around you who will like really fucking tell you the truth? Who will kind of call you out or call you forward? You know, how do you, you know, stand up for what you believe in and your integrity and your backbone? So it's really kind of understanding that obviously the masculine is very much about challenge. And, you know, how do we meet these different challenges and how do we create that sense of like agency and control for ourselves? And then when it comes to connecting to more of a feminine energy, I honestly say for dudes, do body work, do a static dance, get in your body. Like, I think for feminine kind of awareness for men, doing actually trauma work in the body, because you know, the reason why so many people are averse to going in the body is because where all of our trauma lives. So like living in the head is a trauma response. It's because we learned at some point that the body wasn't safe. So if we're going to all of a sudden come into the body, then we're going to start to, the body's like a time machine from the past. We're going to feel all of our shit. And the aversion to the body is the reason why we can't actually create the life that we want. Because like, you know, say a guy is in this job, but he wants to quit. He has literally a somatic response in his body, major resistance on a somatic level, because he's trying to move into an identity for himself that is not safe. It's actual foreign territory for the body. So he's like cognitively trying to make a change in his life, but his body's dragging behind, still living in the past. The only way that true integration happens in life is when the soul and the body intersect. That's where true integration happens, where it's like, I want to quit that job, but you've actually built the capacity in your nervous system and through your body to be able to slowly and incrementally make that jump. Does any of that make sense?
Well, you probably don't know, but I'm a feminine embodiment coach. Like, embodiment is the foundation of my work with women. So whatever you're saying, you're probably referencing the book, you know, The Body Keeps the Score, The Walking Tiger, all of that. And through, I also know you are, what did you say? What kind of a therapist? I guess somatic.
Yeah, so, cranial sacral therapist. I just started to get trained in that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it makes total sense. And for me, I mean, obviously I work with women in embodiment and how, I mean, all of us are disconnected from the body, right? But what I found in women is when a woman is like what we talked about, so many of us are just so much in our head because, you know, we work in male-dominated industries. We constantly, well, it's all in the head and the head and the head. And a lot of the times that's what prevents women from like meeting great men, creating that polarity in their relationship where it's like, get out of your head and be in your body, you know? And from that place, I've seen amazing things happen to women when they're just like, you're there, you're laughing. You don't think about, you know, where's this going? Or have you healed your past childhood trauma? Are you my next husband? I'm like, get out of this shit. Just like enjoy the moment and let the man be a man, you know? So yeah, totally. So I'm guessing like what I was asking about my husband, I think, I mean, he's obviously done a lot of work on himself. And I think some men, I mean, there's so many factors that lead to that, you know, to how, so what I'm saying is that a man does not have to do an ecstatic dance every week to be in touch with his feelings and to be present, right? It just depends on a case-by-case basis.
Totally, totally. And I think even just, you know, beginning to just cultivate a very basic relationship to your emotions. Like, you know, if we're going to learn to cultivate a relationship with our emotions, it's very on the very beginner level. It's like first being able to feel sensations in your body. Like I'm feeling my toes, I'm feeling my knees, you know, doing like a basic body scan meditation. Because like what happens is like, if you think about it, what a woman wants if she has a feminine essence in a relationship with a man is to feel in her feminine. She wants to feel in her feminine. What allows her to feel in her feminine? Well, a huge thing is that she wants to feel validated for her experiences. She wants to feel that when she's angry, that that anger is seen, witnessed, that she's allowed to be in the anger, which means she's actually safe and allowed to be in her body. So, and what's going to happen is that guy's relationship to his own emotions is going to completely mirror her ability to actually be in her body and be in her emotions. So if a woman's in her anger, it's going to bring up a guy's relationship to his anger. If he can't hold anger in his body, he's not going to be able to hold space for her anger. All of a sudden, he's taken away her feminine dream because she wants to be able to be seen, witnessed in that anger to know that her experiences are safe and valid. So a man doing emotional work is actually helping enable his woman to live out her relational dream, which is that he can actually hold space for her emotions. And if a guy's actually done a lot of emotional work, then he can actually create a container for her because he's able to hold whatever emotion is in his body, but he's able to hold it in his body in a way where his nervous system doesn't shut down, that he doesn't get super reactive, that he can like literally become a mountain in his own system for whatever emotional experience she's having. But that guy needs to have capacity with emotions in his body in order to do that. So, because he's got to be able to feel her emotional experience without shutting down, which is, it requires a lot of capacity in the system. And so, and obviously this is, with all this stuff, it's like a never-ending lifelong process. We're never going to be these perfect specimens. But it's just like, it's just more so a general direction of let's head in this general direction. And I think for a dude, like I know a lot of your listeners are women, but you know, if they have husbands or boyfriends or guys they're seeing, it's honestly on a very basic level, can the guy recognize when he's having an emotion? Be like, I'm experiencing fear right now. I'm experiencing sadness. And I think it's really important if we're talking emotions in the masculine, can a dude claim what he's feeling? You know, be like, I'm feeling sad. And not in the sense that he's trying to qualify it, but he can be like, I'm feeling sad right now. Can he actually take up space with his sadness? Can he actually stick his fucking chest out, stick his dildo out, and his dildo is dripping, but there, it's not cum, it's tears. You know what I mean? Can he actually claim that space and be like, I'm having an emotion right now? Can he actually hold the space? And it doesn't mean he needs to be this fucking emotional train wreck, light worker, energy worker dude, but can he at least consciously recognize that I'm experiencing sadness and it's okay for me to be in my sadness?
Do you then go to your woman with that?
Yeah. So it's, I think it's, you know, even if we're going to look at codependency too, I think it's really important for both a man and a woman to learn how to sit with their own discomfort inside their systems first. To be able to like, can you sit with yourself and be like, I'm experiencing sadness? And, you know, rather than maybe dumping our experience, can we kind of claim space in our relationship from a standpoint where we're still kind of secure in our own system? We're still our own anchor because, you know, obviously a big part of codependency is that, you know, we're constantly needing the partner to regulate for us. And while it's co-regulation is an important part of relationships, and that's totally, you know, what happens in a healthy relationship, if it's always the case, that becomes a way that we're trying to like regulate our nervous system when we're using our partner. But if we can be able to be like, I'm experiencing sadness, the guy can bring that to his woman. Guess what happens? She understands what the fuck's going on with him. So a huge part of like the feminine being able to soften and surrender is she needs to know what the fuck a dude is thinking and feeling, what his opinions are. But if he's literally this mask and you don't know what's going on, all of a sudden you feel on eggshells. All of a sudden you're like, where do I stand with him? So a guy at least having a basic degree of relationship to his emotions, to understand what he's feeling, when he's feeling, and be able to consciously label that and be able to claim that and hold space in that, allows the woman in the feminine to be able to be like, ah, I see him.
But I think that there's a difference. So totally agree with, you know, that both of us, to create healthy interdependent relationships, we both need to hold space and, first of all, acknowledge, take responsibility for our own feelings. And that's, you know, the work that I feel I'm doing and you're doing. But when we come in relationships and when we talk about that polarity, I feel, and I'm curious what you think about that, that when a woman is expressing whatever she's going through, so let's say we've held space, but when we come together, when a woman is expressing her emotion, what she's feeling, and wanting to be held in that, is very different from how a man would express that, because his desire is not to be held in that by a woman in his primary masculine state. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. And you know, obviously, like, if the woman's coming, she's like, I feel sad. You know, she's gonna be like, you know, I just need you to hold me. I just need you to listen to me and allow me to express. And obviously, like, a guy, and it depends on the guy too. You know what I mean? Because there might be some guys who are just like, I'm sad. You know what I mean? Some guys might really kind of be in their sadness. And so I think it really kind of depends, obviously, on the dude. But I definitely agree with you that a dude's probably going to have different needs around that than the woman will. I mean, most certainly will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that brings me to kind of a thought about, because obviously, like, you know, the domain of feminine masculine, it's like we can keep discussing about this forever because everybody has kind of their own definitions. We're all kind of going in the same direction. It's a bit different because I'm thinking, of course, like, when women ask me this question, of course, there are moments where your man, and to me, it's almost like a 20-80-20 kind of rule, mm-hmm. where men are allowed to be in their feminine. In fact, you know, when they're not, then it's like unhealthy when he has to always be, you know, that cock that's always erect. You know, he can't be, obviously. Yeah. And so, you know, there are moments in life where we will really have to hold that space as women, you know. But I'm thinking that these moments are not very frequent in that sense. They happen when major events happen in life, you know, maybe death in the family, or he's going through some major thing, and he needs that, you know, he needs to basically, for his walk to be soft, you know, and just be there, and for us to kind of stand up and hold the ground and hold that space. But I'm feeling like that's not predominantly what's happening day to day. Day to day things can be expressed, like my husband sometimes says, I have a fear around this, or I'm just frustrated. But it's not like when he's frustrated, he just says that. But I feel like, okay, he's frustrated, you know, and I kind of leave him alone. But when I'm frustrated or angry, like, you know, I need to throw in some jokes in there. And like, how can I get her out of this frustration? And I'm in that kind of like space where I can just relax and be in my emotions. And I know he can hold that.
Totally. And no, I totally agree. And like, you know, a lot of the time with a dude, it is very much like, oh, I'm feeling frustrated, or, you know, and that's kind of all he needs. And like, I do think that very occasionally what will happen is a guy might crumble. As you say, something might happen, like a big event or something, or he's going through a big transition, and he will kind of fall apart. And I think very occasionally that's going to be a healthy switch that will take place to know that a guy is able to, you know, go through that and still be able to receive support. Obviously, if it's happening day in, day out, she's like, my God, I'm just your fucking therapist. Like, you know, I don't want to fuck you. Like, I want to bill you for this time because you are literally processing with me. And so I think it's really important that a guy has his outlets where he's able to go through that experience, whether it's with his guy friends, whether it's seeing his own therapist, whether it's going to spend time in nature, kind of have those pillars in his life outside of his relationship where he's able to maybe allow himself to be a bit messier, to be, it's not like he never can bring that to his partner, but I think it's really important for like a masculine in relationship to have spaces with other men, spaces where he can process, do his kind of integration stuff outside of the container so that he can come to the container and kind of claim the space in a way that's a bit more precise, a way that has a bit more intention. Because if he's in the relationship and he's constantly falling apart, he probably needs to take some space for himself to kind of get stable and create a pillar and structure on his own before he's able to provide that space for a woman.
Yeah, absolutely. Hi, girlfriends. Sorry to interrupt your listening to the episode, but I quickly wanted to jump in and let you know that I have prepared something exciting for you. If you're interested in polarity, femininity, and how to embrace your feminine and how to attract primarily masculine men in your life, this announcement is going to be very useful for you because I'm talking about my signature training. I'm like, how do I describe this experience? Because it's really an experience, you know. This is a signature training, my 1-hour webinar that I've put together. And it honestly, it's been through a few iterations in the last 2 years, but I feel like this is the best yet training of mine that didn't come from, you know, reading 2 books and 3 courses and like coming together in a copy paste thing that I now advise women to do. No, this has come from me, my own lived experience through my dating life and through finding and attracting the masculine man of my dreams and then marrying him and creating a family. This also came, yes, indeed, from a lot of research and learning and courses and coaches and oh my God, you name it. You know, it's been a journey of 5 years for me about that time. And also this has come from my clients. So the previous training, how is this different if you've signed up for another training of mine, which was the Live Female Success, by the way. This is different because this is now coming through a distillation of my work one-on-one with women who I've helped get to that place where they're just attracting better men and they start attracting better masculine men and are on their way to actually to a relationship eventually. Not only masculine, but also masculine committed men. So if you are in a situation where you're attracting men that are less than desirable, let's say they're feminine men who don't want to lead, don't want to take charge, and men who are unavailable, then this training is for you. I will have to call this training How to Start Attracting Your Masculine Committed Men, basically in 30 days or less. And in this training, I will share with you some of the key things that I've learned throughout this journey that are helping. That's what my work with women is based on. So in this 60-minute training, you'll find the number one reason why you're still single and can't attract a committed masculine man. It's not what you think. How to break through the patterns of attracting unavailable or feminine men, as I said, and find your blind spot so you can attract the men you want. How to master the feminine masculine polarity so you start feeling taken care of, claimed, and finally be able to let go of control and uncover the lie of female success that's keeping you stuck, exhausted, and unfulfilled, which means in masculine energy all the time, so you can start living in freedom and joy and much, much more. So if you're interested, go to girlskill.com/webinar, sign up, and I can't wait for you to see this training and to let me know how it went. And by the way, there are no replays for this, so make sure you select the time that you can show up and be fully present. All right, I'm going to jump off and you continue listening to this episode.
All right. Well, let's shift gears now, Jamie, and talk about, I have 2 last questions for you before we finish.
Let's do it.
We could talk about it forever, obviously. But number one, I guess, what are your thoughts on, I want to hear your perspective on like what the fuck is going on in the world today between men and women, between dating, feminism, whatever wave we're going through. What are your thoughts on that? And I guess, what are you seeing as the main problem? And then I guess the solution to it all.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting. You know, I was reading a really good book that everyone should read is We by Robert A. Johnson. Mm-hmm. And it's a book about the first ever love story from the Middle Ages. And it's very much about masculine and feminine energy and how it relates to relationships. I really recommend it to everyone listening. Mm-hmm. But it kind of talked about through symbolism, and it had this example that was very much representative of the Me Too movement. And the Me Too movement was kind of this first wave that was really, really needed and necessary, right? So it's kind of this idea of reclaiming the feminine, right? And so that was kind of that first wave. And I think the Me Too movement was very, very necessary to try to recalibrate, but it's not the answer. And obviously, I think the answer is for men to learn about being a man from healthy men, for women to learn about being women from healthy women, and then for us to intersect and for us to really Because what we're really seeing, I mean, even if you look on a collective level, it's very much like feminine reclamation, right? All this stuff with the patriarchy, everything that's going on with COVID and people having to take a pause and stop. It's very much like got a feminine energy to it. Everyone's going inward. Everyone's kind of traumas coming up. Everyone's kind of moving into the body. We're trying to find a new way forward. It's very much collectively moving into an unconscious state. It's almost like we've been living in the state of ego, the state of consciousness, and we're trying to expand and move beyond that. And that's happening on a collective level, and it's also happening individually. We're going through collective trauma. Everyone's individual trauma is coming up because we're trying to move into new ground and new territory on a like global planet level, but also on an individual level. So I think I'm kind of going on a tangent here, but for people to be able to allow this time to crack them open to a new layer inside of themselves, and for men to really, really learn what it means to be a masculine man from other men, and to women who actually love men, to women who actually love the masculine. Because if we look at like extreme feminism, that's just like unhealthy feminine anger. And it's actually women who don't like men. And that's really not going to be the answer in terms of how we're going to learn to coexist and to move together. And I think there is this idea where men can build a relationship with the masculine, but as well as build some relationship to their own feminine. Because if we don't build some relationship to our own feminine, then again, we're going to like use and abuse the feminine. We're not going to be able to appreciate the feminine. And as men, if we don't use this time to build some relationship to our feminine, to go inward in some capacity, then we're never going to be able to give women the dream that they ultimately want in relationships. So I think this is really important to know kind of who we're learning from. And if we're women learning about, you know, being in our feminine, to learn from women who love men and vice versa for men.
Yeah. So it's kind of like the integration, healthy masculine integration, healthy feminine integration coming together as we, right?
Yeah. It's like, I really think like if you ask someone what wholeness is, it's the exchange and alchemy between their own masculine and feminine energy. That's what wholeness is. So it's like, if you look at your wholeness, it's the poetic dance between your masculine and your feminine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Being able to embody that in ourselves. And if we don't embody that in ourselves, then we're going to move into relationship and we're probably going to create something pretty dysfunctional.
Yeah. So it's integrating that. It's creating that dance within ourselves, but also knowing that when we come to relationship, it's extremely important to create that polarity and to act and live from that dominant, you know, essence. And I believe also in our lives, you know, I see time and time and again, women who are basically acting like men, even in work or in business, which does not work for me, does not work for women. I actually just wrote an article about, you know, how I tried to play this masculine game in business and it, like, I keep burning out in cycles, interestingly, in cycles, right? And so that, like, it, I just can't, you know? And then when I think about, obviously, I am in my freaking cycles every month and I have a different body and I don't function this way. And now that I'm getting ready for a second baby, I have to think about, well, what's going to happen in 9 months and how this is going to work. And I took a day off work consciously to be with my 2-year-old daughter. So there's so many things that we can't do the same, even when, you know, when it comes to career and business and everything. So when we find ways to operate in that dominant, you know, essence, that we are much more fulfilled, not only in relationships, but also in work and in life. I feel like that is, while obviously integrating the two within us, but operating externally predominantly in that, what makes us the happiest. And that's kind of, at least for me, the solution to, you know, creating this world.
I think coming back to your marker too, like if you're a woman, it's coming back to the flow of love in your life. You know, it's coming back to relationships and kind of that connective energy. And as a dude, I really think of the word purpose. I really think of, you know, fucking the world. And it's like, because like for me, it's like, it doesn't matter what relationship I'm in. It could be with the most incredible woman. If I'm not contributing to my purpose and like I have these visions and dreams for my career. And it's like, it won't matter if those don't happen. It won't matter what relationship that I'm in, and kind of bringing yourself back to kind of what that North Star is for you. And like, as a woman who has a feminine essence, it's going to be bringing herself back, you know, to her body and bringing herself back to the flow of love in her life. And as a dude, it's going to be bringing himself back to like feeling a sense of challenge in his life, a sense of fulfillment, a sense of like, I have purpose and I'm building towards creating a legacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So Jamie, how did you, I mean, you're extremely knowledgeable in these subjects, you know, the stuff that you write on Instagram and all of that stuff. Like, how did you come up with all of that? Where did you learn? How did this whole process for you unfold so that you're able to so beautifully evoke so many emotions from so many women on Instagram? I'm just looking at your engagement. Women are like eating that up. I'm like, what? Jamie, tell me the secret. I mean, I know what the secret is. I'm just, yeah. Anyways, tell me that and then maybe we can discuss it.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think there is something. So I've been a professional writer for like 10 years. So it's like, I just have a skill set for like articulating what's going on with me internally.
So when you say professional writer, sorry, what do you mean? Have you written for other publications?
So I'm not doing that right now because I'm just focusing on my coaching practice and writing movies and stuff. But I used to like write for various publications across the US. I used to be a professional copywriter.
In relationships or in different areas?
Everything. Like I used to be a content creator for real estate companies. Just so like writing in words is my background way more before coaching and being a teacher. It kind of evolved into that. So I think it's like, I don't think every coach or teacher is naturally like a born writer. You know what I mean? I think it comes easier for some people. And I think my ability just to articulate and express through my words is just something that I have a skill set for, which enables me to be able to express what's going on for myself internally. And then, you know, I started off as a relationship blogger and writer like almost 10 years ago. And so just writing for a long time in the space, and I can make connections really quickly. I can like listen to a podcast that's a really complex psychology podcast, and I can synthesize the information into my own framework really, really quickly. So it's just built making connections. I think it's just the way my mind works. And then I think that combined with that, I think the thing that I do is I have a very deep relationship to my own spirit and soul. And so there's a depth that's able to come across through that, that I'm able to have like a raw intensity with how I create. But I think it's kind of an amalgamation of all those pieces that allow me to, you know, create stories and words that resonate and impact people on an emotional level. Because I would say what I'm here to do more than anything is to make people feel things in all the different avenues and domains that I kind of work in, whether it be film or comedy or coaching and teaching.
Yeah, it's really interesting that obviously you're a guy who's standing strong in your masculine, where it's like you produce a lot and you go for it, so you have a purpose. But the nature of your purpose is quite feminine in its essence, you know, make people feel things.
Yeah. Totally. Well, it's, if you think about like creativity, it's like creativity is like a poetic exchange between masculine and feminine. It's like, you know, to be a writer, you have to get like a download that's very feminine energy. But then to sit down, to not procrastinate, to execute on it, you're in your masculine, to be able to work hard at your craft and create structure and a linear story is very much masculine, but the poetry of the color in the middle and the flair is very feminine. So it's very like, I'm an artist first and foremost, way more before being a coach or a teacher. And that's very much like an exchange between masculine and feminine energy. And you have to, like, I'm in my masculine is when I create content and I write. There's like a force and boldness to the way that I create content. I'm like, I get a download for an idea. I'm like, that's so fucking good. That's going to kill. It's clarity, intention, decisiveness. When I write comedy, I'm like, this is hilarious. I know it's, so there's like literally like, and a boldness and a brashness that I can do it through. But I do have to have a feminine component to be able to be enough in flow to bring it to fruition. But I think just because there's nowhere in my life that I'm more confident than when it's creating content. And so it very much allows me to be in a masculine energy.
Yeah. So I'm curious about your routines around that, because I'm also a writer, Jamie. And yeah. I mean, I've never been a writer, but I just started writing.
Yeah. Good for you.
Thank you. People call, like, my clients find me on Google through my articles that I've written on Medium about polarity women and whatnot. And I'm curious about your routine around that and why I'm not able. So I write a lot on Medium, and when I look at your Instagram, I'm like, this guy is like freaking killing it. So, but well, Instagram is a whole different story, because I have a relationship with Instagram and I'm like, I just can't fucking do it. Like, I just show up, I post, and I get out. Like, social media for me is just so
too much.
Yeah. Anyways, so I'm curious, like, what's your, so I'll tell you what I do. What I do is I get up at 5, hopefully, and then I do my morning routine. And then at 6 a.m., well, baby, because with baby, everything changes. At 6 a.m., I sit down and I write every single day. At least I try. Sometimes I go through periods where I'm like, just not doing that. Mm-hmm. But mostly for the last 4 years, that's what I've been doing, writing every day for 30 minutes. And then an idea comes and I develop it and I write it. You know, and that's how I'm able to produce. But obviously, like, I'm looking at you and you're like 10 times. I don't even know. Like, so tell me about your routine and how are you able to just sit with that and then just, well, obviously you're a man, like produce, you know, like create, produce, and then these ideas that are so, you know, like piercing and relatable.
Honestly, so I've never had writer's block before.
Mm-hmm.
I often get my ideas and dreams and in my sleep, and an idea will come to me and I'll feel it in my body. I'll literally feel it and it'll just like, I have the whole thing written in my head. And so I just go, and it's like when I write a movie, I have the whole movie in my head. So I'm like transcribing what I see in my head. When I have an idea for a post on Instagram, literally, I usually write in my head before anything. I'll be out on a run. So movement's really important in my creative process. I do a static dance and I go for long runs. Usually when I write, I'll begin writing. Maybe I'll write for an hour. Then I'll go for like a 10 to 15K run. Then I'll come back and do another couple hours. And I'm writing in my head the whole time. I see everything through like visuals and images.
Are you doing that every day? Like you're writing for a couple of hours, a few hours every day?
Yeah. Like an, if it's doing a screenplay, or maybe I do a couple Instagram posts. Or it's writing a blog, or it's like writing a course that I'm developing, like usually like a couple hours every day, maybe like 5 or 6 days a week. Some days, like on the weekends, it could be much longer. But I really don't have a lot of process, in the sense it's like shit's just coming to me in my field. Shit comes to me in my field and it's like, ooh, like, and when I feel it's ready, I got to write it and I feel called to. And sometimes I sit down at the computer and just create when I have nothing. But I'm usually creating because there's things that are in me that need to be expressed. And I've never really had a problem, for the most part, at least for not long periods of time, where I'm not having ideas flowing to me.
Mm, yeah.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you're a creator. You're a writer. And so it comes to me as well like that. And I know that I need to catch it. And I'm like I get a jolt of excitement. I'm like, oh, yeah, I need to talk about why you should ditch all of your guy friends, stop being friends with your men and start being friends with your women. And like this idea keeps being in my head. I'm like, right, I just need to write that, you know? So yeah, cool. I was just curious.
Yeah. And I was just going to add that. Yeah. And then sometimes you feel it there and you're like, okay, it's not quite ready. You know what I mean? It's like, there's an embryo of an idea and it needs to kind of like allow it to expand a little bit. Or sometimes there's a straight channel and download and it's like, it's right there quickly and you go. So congrats on stepping into the writing. I can't wait to see more of your shit.
Yeah, thank you. No, I'm loving it. I mean, everybody else is loving it. I know there's so much I could put out there on Instagram, and I love your quotes. And when I'm looking at that, I'm like, shit, I have so many of these amazing quotes, but I'm like, oh, I just don't have the energy to do it, you know, to post and to, I'm like, oh, yeah, no.
Well, you're a mom. You're excused. I don't have any kids. My posts are my kids. So, you got some other stuff you're dealing with there.
Yeah. You're also a dude, you know? So it's like, as I said, there's a difference between like, I have a lot of ambition, a lot of masculine energy in me, but then it stops at some point. Like, yeah, I just have to dance around that, because if I overexert myself, then it's like, I'm totally burned down. I just can't do it.
Create from the flow. You know what I mean? Create from a very much like the flow embodied sort of, whether it's through dance or whether it's through like yoga. a movement practice, you know, just have like a maybe have a feminine ritual, feminine embodiment ritual around your creativity. So it's, you know, not as much structured with the masculine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do that. So I write a lot. It's just a matter of, you know, content creation in general, and that content creation machine can just suck you in. And I've been battling with like, oh my God, how do I create this cycle that it's planned and there is a team and like the podcast, right? And I'm also a coach and a program and I run it. So there's just so many things, you know.
Yo, you're fucking lit. That's a lot of stuff.
Thank you.
That's a lot of shit. Jesus.
Yeah. And a baby who's two. So yeah, anyway.
You're claiming it.
Yeah. Thank you. All right, Jamie, the dildo corn. Let's wrap this shit up and talk about, well, basically tell all the women listening, where can they find more about you and your work, the light energy worker and the dildo corn? Obviously, Instagram is the place to go. But yeah, just tell us more about where can they find you and get in touch with you if they want to.
Totally. So first off, we need to call this episode something to do with the dildo corn.
Definitely. Dildicorn is going to be in the headline for sure in the title.
It's got to be Dildicorn and like a unicorn with a raging dildo for a horn. Like, I'm just like, I would love it if that's the direction you went with naming this episode.
Yes. Yeah, I wrote
That'd
it down.
That'd be great.
That's exactly how it's going to be called. Yeah.
Amazing. So yeah, the best place, everyone can find me on Instagram, which I presume you'll put my handle in the show notes where they can find it. And then it's also, it's at Jamie, jamie.n.ray. You can, you know, I'm posting content on there basically every day. You know, check out my stuff. You can shoot me a DM there. I do one-on-one coaching, you know, of different, I do life and relationship coaching as well as energy work. So I do a lot of that. And I have a workshop coming up in mid-December on wild alchemy. I don't know when this episode's going to be going live, but depending on the timing of that, that should be around mid-December. And yeah, I'm gonna have some group offerings in the new year, but nothing just yet. But the best place to start would be to like check out my Instagram, and like it's gonna be a wild ride of like buttholes and like weird shit, and just get a feel for what I'm about and be like, I like this dude, or this dude is fucked up. Fuck off, Jamie. So go to my Instagram and decide for yourself if it's a yay or it's a nay.
Jamie, have you searched for hashtag dildocorn on Instagram?
No. Did you search for it?
I'm looking at it right now.
Are there raging unicorn dildos? Is it a thing? I didn't look anything up.
Oh my God. Okay. I need to share my screen with you because this is like, all right, I'm looking at like, type it up right now. And there's like, there's tattoos. There is like unicorns drawn with a dildo on their heads. There's like pictures of that. There is like, it's a thing. Like there's 204 posts with a hashtag dildicorn.
I didn't know there was a thing.
Yeah, you're not the only one. You're not that unique and creative with your dildicorn. Yeah, exactly.
I should get that tattooed on me.
Yeah, and I think what you should do, well, just an idea, the person who has dildicorn, so Jamie's now showing me on his screen, so everybody please go and like search for hashtag dildicorn, and then Jamie, you should contact this dude. I don't even know who, like there's an account, dildicorn with two posts. With like two girls, just message them and like offer them $100 and just buy that. And that's how you become famous. You're welcome.
I'll create an alchemy brand out of dildicorn.
Yeah. Oh my God. That is so funny.
Wow. I love that. That's so good. I'm going to have to look into that. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good.
Okay. Cool. All right, Jamie, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to releasing this episode and I'll chat to you soon.
Anna, you're a fucking legend. Thanks for having me on here and talking about fucking raging, dripping dicks coming out of the fucking foreheads of unicorns.
All right, ladies, I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. So you can find all the show notes and all the links to everything we mentioned on girlskill.com, or probably that's going to be claim.com by then. But if you go to girlskill.com/181, it will redirect you probably to the show notes for this episode and to everything we talked about with Jamie, where you'll find the links. And also girlskill.com/181 is where you should send your girlfriends. And please, please share this episode with everyone you know. Everyone, you know, who needs to hear this conversation about dildicorns, just send her a message, say, listen to this dildicorn. And I bet you they're going to listen to it. So please do that if you want to charge your karmic energy, give back, and for us to be continuing this podcast. All right. Thanks, everyone. Keep running with the wolf. Stay in your feminine. Stay in your body. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye. All right, girlfriends, hope you enjoyed listening or watching to this episode. And if you did, and if you resonate with most of the things I'm saying, and you want to learn more, and you want to finally start attracting masculine men, I have an invitation for you. So, as you know, I am committed and passionate about helping successful women attract and keep committed masculine men. So I have a personal invitation for you. If you're resonating with everything and you're ready to step up and invest in yourself and take things to the next level, I would love, love, love to talk to you and see if you would be a fit for my work and what I do. And so basically what I'm doing is I'm inviting you, and it's a personal invitation, if you, only if you resonate, because I don't work with everyone and I'm not here to just, you know, make a quick buck and whatever. I'm here committed to your result, and I will make sure that we go until the end and that we get you the result that you want, which is start attracting better men. So I invite you to sign up to actually apply for a free discovery call with me. It's a call that is 1 hour long. And what we do is we talk about your current situation, where you are today, and what's wrong, quote unquote, wrong with your dynamics with men, what you don't like. And then we're going to talk about what you really want and where you want to get. And at the end, if I find that that's a good fit, I'll tell you what I do and I'll offer you to join us and how we could work together. So just to give you a bit of context, this experience is all about, and what I'm going to offer to only if I find that that's a good fit, is about, number one, putting yourself in the best position to start attracting committed masculine men, and not through tactics and techniques or tips, tricks, whatever, but just by being you and understanding and appreciating men, thus creating a deeper relationship with yourself as a feminine essence woman and attract better committed masculine men. Number two, it's all about letting go of overworking perfectionism and the need to control by overcoming your limiting beliefs, patterns, and obstacles to rediscover your worth and enoughness, and rebuilding your faith in your own voice and your own decisions, and exploring your boundaries, and so on and so on. Number three, it's all about letting your body lead. Stop overthinking and start trusting your gut and your heart when it comes to making decisions, expanding and embracing your range of emotions, cultivating sense of awareness and pleasure, and feeling more without apologizing for it. And I know if you're here, you understand and you know that the path to your masculine man, who's a conscious, healthy man, is through you, is through embracing your feminine nature, is through running with the wolves and embracing your wild feminine side and actually gaining power from it. And a healthy masculine man will only be attracted to that if you get to that place yourself. And last but not least, it's all about becoming deeply connected to yourself as a woman. Understand what true femininity is, exploring deeper levels of intimacy, and finally becoming free, lighter, and open. Embracing basically the feminine side of polarity, because again, this is what your masculine man wants. And it's all about stop living in the masculine energy by pushing, doing, and choosing all the time, and start living, enjoy freedom and your wild nature, where you can surrender, where you can finally let go. Trust me, this is an amazing place to be, and it's easy and joyful, and it feels natural and feels like a woman. So if you resonate, go to girlskill.com/apply, and there's going to be a short survey, step one, just apply there. And then the next step is to schedule a call with me. It's going to be an hour. We have fun on this call, so I hope to see you there. And my calendar is booked for another, my calendar is open for another week. So go ahead and do that. If you don't see times that are available for you, make sure you email me, because I'll always make time for you to make sure that you get your spot. All right, girlfriend, keep running with wolves, and I'll see you next week. Okay, bye.